give me a ticket for an airplane. I ain't got time to take no faster. Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a
The Letter, performed by Joe Cocker, who died last week at the age of 70. Here and now, pop culture critic Renee Graham calls Joe Cocker a great idiosyncratic soul singer. Joe Cocker was just one of the many artists that we lost in 2014. Recently, Renee Graham was in our studios to pay tribute to several artists we lost this year, beginning with a musician whose work hit particularly close to home for her.
I'm from Queens, they were from Queens, so the first person up has to be Tommy Ramone, who was the last surviving member of the original Ramones. And the song I want to play is Blitzkrieg Bop.
Let's go! Aye, oh! Let's go! Aye, oh! Let's go! They're falling in a straight line. They're going through a tight one. You giggle at the nevermind. Blitzkrieg Bop.
Blitzkrieg Bop, for all intents and purposes, was one of the first punk songs. Came out in the mid-70s, and it's Tommy Ramone who co-wrote the song, co-produced it, and is also the drummer for the band. And it was the beginning of punk for a lot of people.
So the Ramones were such a seminal part of the culture for a time. The fact that Tommy Ramone is gone now, the last of the Ramones, as you said, how much of the music is still relevant, do you think? How much
survives? Oh, the music is hugely relevant. I mean, I think there's so many ways that it still informs the attitude of rock and roll.
How so?
It's the swagger. It's the idea that you can just get out there and do it. Most of the Ramones songs were rarely more than 2 minutes long. I mean, there were these small, quick, tight, loud songs. And nobody really ever did it better. And it did spawn this whole idea that, you know, people think punk was born in London. No, punk was born in Queens, New York, and Forest Hills, where the Ramones grew up.
She says it's a proud
Johnny,
Queens
Dee
girl.
Dee, and Tommy.
All right, thank you. The Ramones had, of course, a huge following. The next musician you think deserved a larger following. This is Little Jimmy Scott, who also died this year.
If you only knew how much I love you, I believe that you would love me too. Everybody knows how the story goes. I have nothing to conceal. Everyone but you knows I love you too. I wish you felt the same way I feel.
Jimmy Scott, you can say he had a unique voice.
It was really due to a rare genetic condition. So his voice never changed. His voice always stayed in a rather high register. I think in some ways that probably hurt his career because a lot of people who heard him thought he was a woman. And I think it was very confusing for fans. He started off as an R&B singer and eventually became this jazz balladeer. And his career was very uneven. And then in the 80s and 90s, he had this sort of late career renaissance. And people began to discover him. He kept putting music out. There was a lot of attention when he passed away, but he deserved a lot more recognition in his lifetime.
Nice haunting sound.
Beautiful haunting sound. It just, once you heard it, you never quite forget it.
Yeah. Now, anybody who has heard Elaine Stritch, and many people have, she was a huge star on Broadway. I think maybe younger people might know her as Alec Baldwin's mother on the TV show 30 Rock. An enormous Broadway legend.
She put the broad in Broadway. You know, as someone's
did she say that or did you?
You know what? Maybe she said it, but you know, whoever said it first, they were absolutely spot on about it. Another critic said she was Broadway's last first lady. She had a long and very distinguished and varied career on Broadway. She did plays. She did musicals. And what we're going to hear is what became her signature song, the deliciously cutting The Ladies Who Lunch, written by Stephen Sondheim for the 1970 musical Company.
Here's to the ladies who lunch. Everybody laugh. Lounging in their caftans and planning a brunch on their own behalf.
You know, she had personal problems. She battled alcoholism for a large chunk of her life, but she came back and she did some incredible one-woman shows on Broadway that absolutely knocked everybody out. And for people who'd kind of forgotten about her, you know, it really put her back on the map in a big, big way.
So let's hear from another artist now who we lost in 2014.
If you think you're lonely now,
the songwriter, singer, R&B performer Bobby Womack.
Bobby Womack, who in some ways probably wasn't as well known as some of his contemporaries, but hugely influential as a singer, as a guitarist, but also very much as a songwriter. He wrote for Janis Joplin. He wrote for Wilson Pickett. He wrote, and few people know this, he wrote It's All Over Now, which became a big hit for the Rolling Stones. And he had this wonderful string of R&B hits like Across 110th Street, Harry the Hippie. I mean, there was so much there to Bobby Womack. Again, battled a lot of personal demons, but it came through in his music. You hear it, the rasp, you hear the ache, you hear the pain, you hear the passion. There wasn't really anyone else like him.
Claudio Abbado died this year. Claudio Abbado, who was huge in the classical music scene, and we have a piece of music now that's just beautiful. Under his direction, here's soprano Shirley Verrett singing an aria from Macbeth.
There's this building, beautiful tension. You know, it's this moment of Lady Macbeth, played by Shirley Verrett, where she is, you know, bloodthirsty and power mad, and you hear the madness in her. You hear where this is building and how much worse this is going to get. And it's just such a slow crescendo towards this remarkable moment. And it just says everything about the way Abbado conducted.
Renee, I know you want to play something from somebody who's known more as an actor than a singer.
It's another wasted morning, and I'm bouncing off the wall. Too much swarming makes me wonder why I'm headed home at all.
That is the Emmy-winning actor James Garner. He did a duet with Waylon Jennings called I'll Find It Where I Can that appeared on Jennings' album Waylon and Company. And every now and then, James Garner would sing in a film, not in a very serious way, but he would. But you always got the sense that maybe he actually could sing, and I think he can sing.
I think he can.
And he can sing, and it's a great song. It's one of those great sort of country outlaw kind of songs. And who knew? He was also a singer. Yes. And one hell of an actor.
Yes, thank you for reminding us of that. We've been paying tribute to some of the musicians who left us this year with Here and Now pop culture critic Renee Graham. We've got all of Renee's list at hereandnow.org. And lucky friends of yours, Renee, you actually make a CD for your friends.
I do. I've been doing that for years. And so it's something I hope they look forward to.
Excellent. Thank you again, Renee. And we're going to go out on Big Bank Hank. Tell us about him.
He was one third of the Sugar Hill Gang, who was the group behind the seminal rap song Rapper's Delight, which pretty much started everything in hip hop in 1979.
Well, so far you've heard my voice, but I brought two friends along. And next on the mic is my man Hank. Come on, Hank, sing that song.
Check it out. I'm the CASN, the OVA, and the rest is FLY. You see, I go by the code of the doctor of the mix, and these reasons I'll tell you why.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Lisa Mullins.
I'm Robin Young. Happy New Year. This is Here and Now.
I got two big guns that definitely ain't the whack. I got a Lincoln Continental and some new Cadillac. So after school, I take a dip in the pool, which is really on the wall. I got a color TV so I can see the Knicks play basketball. Him and juggle my checkbook.